Ready?
Okay.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Sanctuary today. We were about 6 inches away though, okay? So I'm releasing a little bit of water. Give me just a second. We will have a word of prayer and then we are going to do baptisms right away. Got it. Got it. All right. Well, good morning. Here's one of the things about baptism. In baptism, we are telling not just the church, but we're telling the world that we belong to Christ. And so with that, what we're doing is we're giving both the church and the world the right to hold us accountable.
Amen.
We proclaim to be Christians, right? And this is the greatest proclamation we can make to the church and to the people. Now we go out and we testify with our words, but since this is taking place, we're testifying with our lives. And so this is a very serious step. And so we have three people who are going to be baptized today who are making this identification. And church, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's a wonderful day that we get to celebrate this. We love baptisms around here. And so, yeah. So, but part of that, as a body and as a family, these folks getting baptized, we as a church, we're taking the vow to edify them, to walk alongside them as disciples who make disciples, who take the truth of Christ redeeming a lost world. But we walk together now, and so these folks have been coming for a while, and you might already see them as family, but today this is the statement, we are family. And so we get to welcome some people into the family and into this body. Yeah. So, let's have a word of prayer, and then sometime today we'll talk about some announcements, but just make sure you hang out and you have some fellowship afterwards, all right? Father, as we come before you today, Lord, it is such a great day. Lord Jesus Christ, as you commanded us to baptize and to be baptized, Father, we get to enjoy that obedience today. Lord, in both as a church baptizing those who are making a proclamation, those who have given their lives to you, Lord, and we get to rejoice with those who are getting to be obedient in being baptized. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. All the work that we do is a work that you've already done. It's what you've called us to. And so, Lord, we are stepping in obedience today. And, Lord, we pray that, Lord, not just this act, but, Lord, the rest of our lives would be devoted to being obedient to you and what you call us to. And so, Father, we ask for help. And Lord, not only do we ask for help, but Lord, we get to stand on the truth and the promise that you sent your Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, to lead us. And so, Father, we need a dependence upon you. Lord, and so as we come and we get to worship you in this obedience today, would you help us just to truly, Lord, be with one another. Lord, and lead one another to your truth and to your grace. And Father, we just rejoice in all that you're doing. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, church. Come on up, guys. Come on up, Larry. Larry, you going first?
Yeah.
All right. Come on up, Larry. Alan, you want to come get him? Grab his towel, please. Yeah, there we go. Somebody want to come on up here and give him a hand? Just to make sure. You can't see a thing?
Mm.
Well, you're about to get to a step. Give me your hand. One more. There you go. All right. Come on up here, brother. Can you see anything?
A little bit.
Can you see this?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, then you're good. We're good. All right. We're good. Hey, brother, this is Larry. I don't know how many of you I read. Yeah. And I don't know what he wants to share, but I just have to share. I've received some emails from Larry just as the Lord's really been working and calling him, and it's been a great pleasure. I got to read one of those to you guys that you guys also rejoiced in. And so he's decided to be baptized. And so, yeah. And so, Larry, do you have a profession to make?
Yes, I announced that Jesus Christ is definitely my Lord and Savior. So this is my second time getting baptized. I was baptized once when I was younger, but I never really fully walked in the Lord. He was with me, but I never really walked with Him like I should. And it kind of came to me around Easter time that I needed to start going to church. He kind of put it in me that you need to quit fooling around. You need to come to church, and you need to be walk me. So I started coming here. And he called me to him. He says, you need to give your life fully to me. You know, you've been doing it on your own for too long. You need to give your life fully to me. So I told him, Lord, you need to come. Please come into my life fully. I want to dedicate my heart and my life to you. Remove that foolishness that I've been doing so long. And it's just amazing changes that he's made in my life, just in my marriage and with my being a better father to my son, just so many miracles that he's worked in.
Yeah.
Such a great time. He's kind of pulled me up from that darkness and into the light. So he's definitely my Lord and Savior, and he's doing a lot of good work still inside me. So.
Amen to that. Yeah. Okay, when I lift my hand, I'm going to have you plug your nose, okay? And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, and in the promise that he, and command that he gives us to be baptized. I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In obedience to that, to love him, to live for him, and brother, if need be, die for him. I baptize you in the name of the Father. There you go. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
All right. Next, we got a husband and wife team. Yeah. It's been a joy to see the growth in these next two as well. Again, I don't want to take from what they might share, but I just love it whenever somebody doesn't want to just immediately do something because you're supposed to do it, but that they want to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, that they want. And so what a great story we have with these two coming up here to be baptized in that. And so it's been cool. They shared some testimony this morning, and come on in. Just come on. They shared some testimony this morning.
Good.
There you go. Yeah, that works. You can come down one more if you want. There you go. All right. Husband and wife team right here. Yeah. All right. You have a profession to make.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll start off with going through my whole life. I didn't know Jesus, and I didn't know God. You know, as I got a little bit older, I started to realize, and I say older, I was probably a teenager, I didn't realize that the bad things that I were doing were sinning, but they felt bad. I knew that I needed to not do those things, and I started working on things in my life. Gosh, fast forward, 20 plus years, and now I'm learning a lot about Jesus and God, and I've been happier than I ever have in my whole life. I've been able to turn away from vices. I used to do bad things, and I would turn towards other bad things to numb what I was feeling. So I've been able to turn away from that, and learning about Jesus Christ, I know that He's the light of our world and the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. I really do believe that He's my Lord and Savior, and I also believe that I'm united with Him, and He gave His life and came back, so I can be united with Him through that.
Amen. 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 And upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in obedience to His command to be baptized, to love Him, to live for Him, and brother, if need be, die for Him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hold your nose. Put your hand right there. Right here. Hold your wrist. Right there. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Him in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. All right. Man, haven't we been hearing some great testimony?
Yeah.
Your turn.
Thank my brothers and sisters here today for all the prayers over the last several years for me and my family. Thank you. And I just want to say that I now live and love for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Amen. 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 And upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to love Him like you are, to live for Him like you are, and if need be, sister, die for Him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Him in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. All right. Yeah, isn't that an amen? All right. Hey, give God the glory. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The worship team is going to come, and they're going to kind of start moving some stuff back together. I've asked Caden, any kids who want to come and share a short testimony about camp, okay, Hayden's going to come up and she's going to start it off. And so can this microphone be working while they're setting this stuff up? Is that okay? Cool. Hayden, come on up. Any other kids who would...
During camp, we were learning about Abraham and how he made a lot of mistakes and how we can all learn that God will understand that we make mistakes and forgive us, no matter how much that we do, like how he slept with a slave and had another child. Sarah didn't like it, but she chose for him to do it. They agreed on it and tried to do what God didn't want them to do. It was on their time instead of His time. And we do things on our own time, and sometimes it's not on God's time. But He still forgives us from doing that. And during camp, on the last day, there was two girls who wanted to be baptized. And when the pastor, after he baptized him, he asked if there was anybody else. And three other people came up and got baptized.
be different from the world, and we are aliens because this isn't our real home. Our real home is heaven, and we could be different.
When I was at church camp, I gave my life to the Lord. When I was at church camp, I learned that we need to be aliens and be different than other people, and we don't need to be the same.
Sorry about the pause, you guys. We don't want any electric shocks up here, do we? Plugging stuff back in.
It's good to have some quiet time, right? We don't get much of that around.
It's true.
All right, we ready to worship and praise?
Woo!
Thank you.
mighty power of our Lord. From day to the branch was formed, and a righteous king was born. His eternal kingdom will remain. Till and Jesus came into the world, the Holy One, God's only Son. Jesus came to seek and save, and he will reign forevermore. God so loved the world he gave, his only Son who was slain, knowing that he would overcome. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth and in heaven. We watch and pray for your return. Yeah, Jesus came into the world, the Holy One, God's only Son. Jesus came to seek and save, and he will reign forevermore.
That's what
Lord of heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change his plans? When his hand is raised, who can stop him?
Filled with wonder,
Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and all of our praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hang on. I timed that. I didn't time
I
that.
We,
it's
can,
just,
we
yes.
can do a different one.
Do you have an invitation song for today?
We do.
Yeah. Okay. So you know how, you know, we just can't do things normal all the time. They're going to play the invitation song. What an amazing day. We could see baptisms, this, that, and the other. But I, here's the thing. I can feel that there is something holding some of you back. So we're going to play the invitation song now, and so we want this, we want to worship in this song, but we want to be ready to be able to receive his word. We want to be able to, here's the thing, we just sang a couple of songs, and there's some who are stuck and held back. You weren't worshiping, and it's because you couldn't. And so I want you, during this invitation song, I just want you, whatever you need to do, If you need to come and pray at the altar, then come and pray at the altar. If you just need to bow down and pray at your seat, then pray at your seat. But before we get into the word, and as we sing this last song, or this next song, I don't want to say last song, unless Jesus comes back and then, you know, still won't be the last song, but just so you know. I have this word that the Lord has put on my heart these past few days. You know, the baptisms talk about us being saved and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And we, a lot of us are very eager and we do a good job of sharing that God saved us. But what we struggle with is the sanctification part. What we struggle with is like saying that, listen, this is where I'm at. And it's not always pretty. And we want everybody to think that since we've come to Jesus, we want everybody to think that everything's fine and everything's been worked out and everything's just beautiful and everything, I'm fine, oh, it's crazy, it's blessed, oh, blah, blah, blah. And that's, we just know that that's not true. You know in your heart that that's just not always true. And so we don't talk about the sanctification enough. I mean, we've been saved, and praise the Lord, we've been saved, but there's some testimony, and there's some testimony we need to share as a church by just coming to the altar and praying and saying, okay, Lord God, this is in me. And maybe there's a public profession to go with it. Maybe not. Maybe it's just simply making the profession that you're just going to be at the altar and you're like, man, I just need something. And some of you are like, man, God's already been working on me like that. It's really easy to get caught up in some stuff. I'll share a little testimony really quick. I got this truck I've had since I was a kid, you know, and I've been building this truck for years and years and years, and I spent like almost $5,000 on this engine and, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? And it's it's hot August nights coming soon, and you don't want to drive the truck hot August nights, all this kind of stuff, right? It's one of those things. And, you know, I'm not devoting everything, and I'm not, it's, you know, this brand new engine, I put it in there, and I started a few times, this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden, there's all this moisture coming out of the tailpipes. And it's sweet, so I know that there's a leak somewhere. And then the oil's, it's all milky, and it's full of, and so I have a blown head gasket, right? Brand new engine, I have a blown head gasket. The company who built it's out of business. There's no chance to go back, you know, and none of this kind of stuff. All this is, and I tell you, I'm a little upset, right? And I didn't stomp around. Did I stomp around like a little baby? Okay, I didn't think I stomped around like a little baby. I had to make sure before I share that. But it's one of those things to where it's just stuff, right? Yep. And Jasmine came to me and she's like, what's going on with the, you know, and again, I wasn't stomping around, but and so I was just kind of explaining to her what was taking place and what was happening. And the Lord is just so good, amen?
Amen?
And I was like, you know, here's the problem. The Lord is just showing me that I'm just too attached. I'm just too attached. Right? And so I'm just too attached to this stupid chunk of metal. Right? I mean, it's really what it is. I'm too attached to this stupid chunk of metal. And here's what it was. It's not, that doesn't surprise me completely. It doesn't surprise me completely, but here's what I had to share with Jasmine. I was like, I think the biggest hurt, the biggest problem I'm having is that it's affecting me so much. You know, it's not, it's just that I'm letting it affect me. It's a chunk of steel. And so, you know, this in this past week, that's what the Lord was working on me. And so I just want to share, you know, the sanctification process, it's a process. Until he comes to get us or we're buried in the ground, right? This is the process. And so we should never be ashamed. It'd be really easy to go to a church where a pastor, I could stand up here and look like I was perfect or something like that. But we're not. And so we all need to come to the altar, to whatever the altar is. Maybe the altar is just in your heart, so it's just in your seat. And it's just time to just sit down and just be like, okay, Lord, like this, I got this. I just, not I got this like I can handle it. I got this thing, and you know exactly what it is. I know exactly what it is. And so I finally, I'm just going to give it over to you. Because all this stuff is just stuff. Moth and rust will destroy. And so, Father, I need from you what only you can give, the only thing that will sustain, and that's life. And that's life. And so this invitation we're going to do now. We're going to do now so that when we do open the Word, and so when we do, like it's, we've been worshiping. Because, you know, worship takes place at the altar. Worship takes place in your confession. Worship takes place in the just, Lord, I'm at the altar and I'm here for you to do this. Now that's worship. Let's not get caught up in the worship. It's just, oh, we sang, so that was worship. No. We sing as part of worship. But man, I tell you what, you come and you say, Lord, deal with me and however you want. Let him deal with you. And you confess stuff and you get rid of stuff and you let him. Then I tell you what, the singing is, then you'll know what worship through song is. And so the invitation, I'm not going to stand up here to receive anybody. I'm actually going to leave. I'm going to leave and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to pray and I'm going to sing and that's what I'm going to do. And so the invitation is for you to do as the Lord leads. Here's the altar. Here's the altar. So come to the altar. Amen? All right. Would you just bow your heads? Father, we need you so desperately. And Lord, we know that you're present. We know that we have you as far as salvation. But Lord, we need you to continue to do the work that only you can do. And Lord, we know that it's a work that you have been doing, and it is work that you do and you promise to do. But Lord, so many of us have been shut out to letting you do your work. So many of us have been denying the power. Lord, to be set free, to live in victory. Lord, to walk in that. Father, we've been trusting in earthly things. They're going to be rust and they're going to decay and things are going to destroy them. And so, Father, in this time, in this moment, would you help us just to set all of that aside, Lord, and not just simply set it aside to where we can just pick it back up, Lord, as your word says, to cast it. Lord, just like We're trying to cast our fishing pole to the other side of the lake. Lord, help us to just cast our sin as far as we can. And we thank you that you would die on a cross for us, that we've been forgiven. And so we get to walk in victory. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to worship you now.
Give it.
a blessing to be among God's people. Amen. What a joy. What a joy to be a statement in a place, in a world that would deny and refuse our Savior. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you, church. I just want to thank you, church, for just being willing to let the Spirit move and speak and work on your hearts. And so all praise and all glory goes to him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Children, you are dismissed. It'll be kind of noisy. We can do it later. Unless you want to take a swim. Do you want to jump in? I mean, isn't that good? Yeah. I know what you're thinking. Okay, Pastor, you've used up a lot of time. Your sermon can't be that long. You don't know me very well, all right? The squirrel is in his cage, I think. All right. All right. Man, God is so good to us. God is so good to us. He does so much. Don't you just feel so? Here's the thing. We're gonna talk today. We're gonna finish chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, and so we'll be in the last 7 verses, 14 through 21, and so we're gonna talk about some stuff. And so what we have the church at Corinth, who's really they're struggling spiritually, but they don't see it. And the reason they don't see it is because the Holy Spirit is still moving. He's still working. They're performing all the signs, all the miracles, all the sign gifts, all that is taking place at the church in Corinth. And so they're getting caught up in all of that. And here's what's happening. They're struggling spiritually, and they don't see it. And the reason they don't see it is because they're getting caught up in the works. And if we remember, man, that song right there, I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. You know why we don't boast in those things? Because they're not ours. They weren't given to you. Right? You don't boast in what you're a steward of, right? You boast in the one who owns them. You boast in the one who's given them to you, put them on loan. And so what happens is they start thinking that it's their gifts. They start thinking that it's them. And so they start putting emphasis on how special they are, and it starts to cause division. And they get in this division about Paul and Apollos and all these guys. And so once division gets started, here's the thing. Once division gets started without correction, it might have started with one little thing, but it just spreads like gangrene. And then people start dividing over anything they can divide over. Is anybody in here, here's the thing, has anybody in here ever been part of a church split? Disgusting, horrible things, isn't it? Divided over probably something stupid, right? Probably not like something, some kind of heresy, like there was heresy coming from the pulpit. You're like, you know, we need to kind of stop that. Man, and here's the thing. Most of the time, the divisions that happen are because people aren't getting their way. Most of the time. And so what's taking place is they're causing divisions inside the church. And so nobody's leaving yet. But basically, it's the part of the division where you have that group and you have this group and you have this group. And the groups are all bashing each other. And the groups are bashing what the others believe. And it's just disunity inside the church. And so there's division inside the church. Well, guess what it leads to? It's going to lead to, if it's not corrected, it'll lead to people actually just leaving. And you know what happens when you leave because you can't trust the church? And here's the thing. When you can't trust the church because of that division, because here's what happens. Even if there's sound doctrine coming from the pulpit, if a division gets started and it gets to magnify and starts to grow, what happens is that people end up leaving and walking away or falling away from the Lord. Even if the teaching from here is good, once you get caught up in a division, and you start getting worried and all these little things that really don't matter. This is why Paul is writing this. And so this is why he's writing this, to correct the church. And so Paul's been speaking about being a minister and really what ministers should be regarded as and the things that ministers do. So what we've talked about is last week we talked about ministers as sufferers for Christ. And so today we're going to talk about two different things. Ministers as fatherly encouragement and ministers as ministers as administers of discipline. That's a tongue twister. Say that 10 times fast, just not right now. Okay, do that later. But we're going to talk about those two things, and so these ministers and the things that they're called to. And so we talked last week about suffering. And ministers of Christ, remember Christ said you're going to suffer. Right? You're going to suffer. It's just in the eyes of Christ when you have the Spirit dwelling inside of you, your suffering is not just for just nothing. Right? We talked about that last week about how your suffering is for somebody else's blessing. And so we are to suffer well. And so he told us how to suffer well, and he told us how to endure. And then now when we get into 14, verse 14, we're going to read 14 through 21. And so if you'll stand as we read this, but we're going to see Paul's, he's going to talk about being a father, and so we're going to talk about his paternal care, we're going to talk about his love, and we're going to talk about a couple of other things. And so, it's already getting late. It's already getting late. So if you're at chapter 4, verse 14, say amen. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love in a spirit of gentleness? Father, as we come before you, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the correction. Thank you for the guidance. Thank you for everything that you bring to us in it. And so, Lord, give us understanding. Give us a desire to be changed by it, to be transformed, to glorify you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please have a seat. All right, so let's move somewhat quickly here. Verse 14, remember, he ended 13 with talking about how they are the scum of the earth, they are the refuse of all things, and he was making this distinction about how you guys are all these things because this is how you live and this is how you act. You act like you're better than everybody. You act like you're already there, right? We were talking about sanctification earlier. You guys act like not only were you saved, but you're already sanctified and you're already perfect and you're already these things. He says, but we who are following Christ, we as ministers, this is what we're regarded as. This is what we're looked upon. And so here's the thing. In Christ, when you're in Christ, the world is going to look at you differently. Now we live in a time and a place where like being religious is not a bad thing, and even going to church is not a bad thing. It's getting different, but here's the thing. The churches, not all, but the churches are starting to lean more towards the world. You know why? So that we can stay in that, because the church is afraid to actually look different than the world. We don't want the world to think that we're holy. Right? But when we understand that our holiness is because of his holiness, it's being applied to us, it's not our holiness. When we shouldn't be upset that God calls us to a higher standard. You know why? Because he is a higher standard. And so he calls us to that standard. And the problem is that the church starts getting full of the world. And the church wants to be like the world. And so the church starts being in the world and also of the world. And so the church will start to bring things in. And here's the thing. The church may stay united, but what happens is they actually get divided from the Spirit of God. And so Paul says, here's the thing, we're regarded as scum. You know why? Because he sticks to the word. Because he sticks to his relationship with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and that's going to bring some stuff. Right? How many of you like to be right? How many of you, when you're right, you're like, man, tooth and nail, right? I'm going down with this bad boy. Actually, I ain't going down. I'm going to stay here and fight till you go down. Right? So how about this? What if you just think you're right and you apply all that arrogance and all that pride and all of that to to you, and you're actually wrong. This is what Paul's calling them to. Paul says, hey, quit being arrogant. You ain't got nothing to boast in. Quit being prideful. Listen, the things that God's doing in your midst and through you, it ain't you, it's him. And it's him choosing to do so. And so it's not, you know, you're not supposed to run out and try to make yourself look like scum. He says, this just comes. And then in verse 14, he says, listen, I don't write these things to make you ashamed. And many of you are thinking, well, yeah, you shouldn't shame people. No, listen, shame is a very good tool. In fact, Paul uses it just in the letter of Corinthians, just in the letter of 1 Corinthians. You know how many times Paul actually uses shame? 4 times. And in 2 of those times, he says this, I say this or I write this to your shame. He writes and he says, listen, I'm telling you this so that you'll feel ashamed. Here's the problem. There are sins in our life. There are sins that we should feel ashamed of, that we should be ashamed of. And so when the Scripture calls it, or when the Holy Spirit calls it, when it gets called out in our life, we should be ashamed. And Paul says, listen, we're going to talk about that next. That starts in chapter 5. But in chapter 4, he says, listen, this boasting, all of this stuff, I'm not writing this to shame you. This part of the letter is not to shame you. He says, I'm writing this to admonish you. This means I am strongly urging you to correct it. And so it's a rebuke in the sense, but it's a rebuke out of love. It's not a rebuke as shame is going to be, which he's going to use. Because he gets to some things and he's like, man, you guys are applauding? You guys are applauding this horrible, detestable sin. Instead of kicking this person out of the church, you should separate yourself, but you're applauding it. And you think that you're being loving by turning a blind eye to sin. He says, that's to your shame. That's going to happen in chapter 5. But this part right here, he says, here's the thing. I want to admonish you. Before you get to that, listen, let me make sure that you're in this place to be ready to be rebuked. And so he says, I'm urging you for this. Now, here's the thing. You get to Scripture and you're like, okay, I know what's coming. You ever put your Bible down because you're like, man, I don't want God to call out my sin. Right? Right? Or you're like, man, I don't feel like going to the Lord and praying because I don't want God to call out my sin. And it's just completely irrational, isn't it? Because you already know that he's calling out your sin because you're the one putting the Bible down. You're the one not going to him in prayer. And so you know, and so you're not ready to be rebuked. And it's not until you're like, okay, I'm finally ready. Like, my sin has cost me enough. I'm finally ready. And so you open. Here's the problem. You won't ever get yourself ready. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'll get sick of my sin. No, you won't. You know when you'll get sick of your sin? When God actually lets your sin cost you more than you wanted to pay. You won't get sick of it. He'll have to make you sick of it. And so he says, listen, I'm writing this to admonish. Like, here's the thing. Like, are you ready? So he writes this part, are you ready? Are you ready to be rebuked? Are you ready to be corrected? He's like, listen, this part's not for your shame. This part is like, are you ready? This is out of love. I'm writing you like this. I'm writing you. And he says, you've had tons of guides, countless guides, he says. And some King James, I think, says thousands of guides, right? And so this word that he uses for guide is pedagogue. And he uses it in Galatians 3:24 when he speaks about the law being a pedagogue, being a guardian. And so what this pedagogue, what this guardian was, it was somebody who loved the children, right? Like love could be a part, but wasn't qualified. Didn't need to be. This pedagogue, this guardian, was somebody who was entrusted by the father. He was entrusted by the father to lead, to take the children to school. He was typically a slave inside the house. And so his responsibilities were, okay, make sure little Johnny gets to school, make sure he behaves in school, make sure he comes back, he gets home safe, and that was the job of the pedagogue. And so Paul says, listen, you've had thousands of those. And so however big the church was and those pedagogues being one another, those pedagogues being these other teachers, these people who have come through and encouraged and edified and called out and all these things, he says, listen, you've had a lot of those, thousands of those, countless of those. Like, here's the thing, when you think back of every time somebody gave you or scripture applied to you from somebody else or somebody led you or somebody showed you some truth, how many could you count it on one hand? Hopefully more, because that means you're paying attention. How many of you are like, man, I can't keep count of all the things that people have done for me or helped me or led me to truth or something along those lines? I can't count all of those. That's what Paul is saying. Listen, you've had countless guides. Like, the Lord has used tons of things, countless things, thousands of things to lead you to truth, to grow you, to help. He's like, but here's the thing, but you haven't had many fathers. Now, just bringing up the word father starts to stir some stuff in some folks, right? You start to think of your father. And we got to be careful with the word father, and Paul's very careful with the word father. Jesus says, you know, don't call anybody your father, right? And so he makes the statement, but when Jesus is using it, he means in the position of authority, right? There's some churches who use the role of father in a place of authority which is not established. That's what Jesus is talking about. When I drive the bus, there's a lady who used to call me Father Tom. No, don't call me Father Tom. Because Jesus said not to, because that term father that is used when Jesus is speaking about it, it's about one of authority. Now, how many of you, your father had authority? Like, he would paint the back porch red if need be, right? He had this authority. And so here's the thing. When I say the word father, some of you, that's what you think, because your father was just abusive. Your father was just always beating on you. Your father was not a good father, because that starts to stir some stuff up in. And then there's others who say, no, I have a good father. And you don't remember the beatings. You remember the things that your father did. I don't know about you, but how many of you, your father was your hero? Right, your father was your hero, and maybe not like you thought he was Superman per se, but then you looked up to your father, and you wanted to be like your father. And I can give you statistics. Sorry, my tongue couldn't keep up with my brain. I don't think it'll fall out, but anyway. I can give you statistics on, listen to this, dads. Your daughter's marrying men like their fathers, right? And so if you have daughters, you should be like, okay, Lord Jesus, forgive me for everything that I've ever done, and don't let my daughter remember this stuff, right? And please don't let my son emulate it. I don't want my son to imitate it. I don't want my son to lift up those things that I did. Let them only remember and see the good things that I've done, that you've done through me. And so all of you, if you have a daughter, who's got a daughter in here? At least one. How many of you want to have a good son-in-law? How many of you are going to clean the shotgun? You know, the old thing, like, yeah, we're going to make sure we can do. That won't work. Here's the thing. That won't work. It will scare him in the moment. It won't work. Because you know you've spent a whole life of raising your daughter a certain kind of way, and she subconsciously knows what she's going to pick because of how you've raised her. And so a father is different. A father is different. And so Paul says, listen, I write to you as a father who cares, as a father who's concerned, as a father, right? As a father who loves you and wants you to do well. So he's not writing from a fatherly, authoritative position. That's not what he's writing from. He's writing from this place of, listen, I want to be a father. He says, in fact, I am your father because of the gospel. And so he's their spiritual father, if you want. And what he's saying is, listen, I had the joy of leading you to Jesus Christ. How many of you have had the joy of getting to lead somebody to Jesus Christ? Because it's all just in leading. You know what? It ain't you, just so you know. God uses donkeys in the Bible, and so he uses us. That's how he's chosen to get the gospel out. And so Paul says, listen, I'm your father in the gospel, because God gave him the gospel, and he took the gospel, and people came to Christ. And so he uses this as a picture. He says, here's the thing. You've had a lot of guides, but you don't have many fathers. He says, I became your father in Christ through the gospel. And so he says, and since, here's the thing, since I was a good father, and he's not boasting. He's like, I was a good father because of what Christ has done in me and what he's done through me. And so I want you to be imitators of me. How many of you, when you think about that, you want your children to live the same life you lived? Anybody signing up for that? I don't see a whole lot of hands going up for that. Man, I want my kids to live the same life that I did. You're like, no. How many of you want your kids to live the same good parts of your life that you lived? And you don't want them to know anything about the sin and the mayhem and all, right? You don't want any of that to be part of your kids' lives, right? You want to raise perfect little angels, right? Of course you do. It's a good thing. And so you're like, oh, okay, here's the thing, kids. Just do the good things that I've done. And if you hear anything about me, just stay clear from that. Paul is saying, be an imitator of me. And this is, he uses it in multiple places. He uses it in lots of his letters, writing to a lot of people. He writes, he's going to tell them later on in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, to imitate them. He's going to use that later. He tells in the letter to the Philippians, he uses it a couple of times. In Thessalonians, he uses it. In Timothy, he uses it. He uses it over and over again. And, you know, here's the theme of be imitators of me. Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. And so the call as the father, he says, listen, I'm writing to you as a father. I'm your father. I gave you the gospel. And here's the thing. I led you. I raised you as children as I imitated Christ. And he says, and I'm going to send Timothy to you because Timothy is one of my children too. Timothy is one of my children that I love. He's like, and Timothy is my child I love. And what he's going to do is he's going to come and he's going to remind you of all the things that I do and all the things that I taught. Because he says, here's the thing. In Christ Jesus, I'm the same guy. I don't teach you one thing and act something different. And he says, and Timothy is going to remind you of that. And now here's the thing. He trusts Timothy. You know why he trusts Timothy? Because he lives the truth that he teaches. And so when Timothy imitates him, guess what? Timothy now has the same convictions. Timothy now lives like Christ because his spiritual father, Paul, lived like Christ. We as the church are to live like Christ because there are people that we want to imitate Christ. Well, here's the thing. They're not going to see Christ until you show it to them. You show the life of Christ. You show the love of Christ. You show the salvation of Christ. You show the person of Christ Jesus to the lost world. And so you must imitate him because you want the world to imitate you. You see, listen, it takes us out of the picture. It means that we have to be transformed. We have to be changed. We have to be made into the likeness of Christ. We need the Holy Spirit living in us, empowering us, moving us, guiding us, changing us in order for people to see Jesus and desire Jesus. And there's so much of the Christian life that's lived in a way and in a place where, man, I don't want the world to imitate that. I don't want the world to know about that. This is why we come. This is why we come to the altar. This is why we ask God to search us. This is why we let him search us and convict us and call us out. But you have to be ready. Listen, the word calls you out as a loving father. Trust me, there's a time where there's going to be the discipline of a father, the authority of a father, but it doesn't come from this world. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God the Father. Jesus himself didn't even proclaim to be the Father. You know why? Because he wasn't the Father. But do you remember when he prayed for you? Do you remember when he prayed for the disciples? Father, let them be one as we are one. Remember, Jesus was the greatest imitator of his Father. Don't be like, oh, that's heresy. No. He imitates his Father. He says, you talk about the works I do. Don't you know they're not my works? They're the Father's works. The things I say and the things I do, I get them from the Father. I pay attention. I stay in fellowship. I'm with him in communion constantly. And so the things I say and the things I do, it's what he's doing and it's what he's saying. And so he imitated his Father. And then you know what he said? The Holy Spirit. You know who he's going to imitate? Jesus, as he imitates God the Father. And so when we say, hey, listen, I am a Spirit-filled Christian, right? I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. What are you saying? That you are filled with the imitator of Jesus who's imitating the Father. And so our lives should look holy and godly. They should look like Jesus. This is what he's calling us to. Listen, and he calls you not to your shame.
This is all to admonish us, to get us excited. Punishment, right? Discipline, it's not enjoyable in the moment. It's not enjoyable in the moment. You know, I made this the confession about, you know, what the Lord was doing in my life just this last week. And so in that moment, it wasn't enjoyable. But you know what was enjoyable? The fact that God let me know how much I was worshiping something over him. There was joy in that. You know why? Because it meant that he loved me and he was calling me and he was admonishing me to get me back where I needed to be to actually have the joy that he gives. And so it's an admonishment. He's not trying to shame us. Again, that comes in chapter 5. We're in chapter 4 of our lives, right? Right? Thank you, Jesus, for chapter 4. Please help chapter 5 not apply, right? But I want you to know this. He says this in this section only. I'm not writing this to your shame, but in 4 times in the rest of the letter, he's going to say, this is to your shame. And so here's the truth. As a disciple of Christ, as a follower of Christ Jesus, the Lord gives us opportunity. He says, here's the thing. Are you ready? Because what I have next for you, it's going to be a little hard. It's going to be hard for you. Because you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to confess. You're going to actually have to be changed and transformed. And I don't know about you, but if there's something in your life that you're like, man, I don't know if I can be transformed. Like, something greater than me is going to have to do this. That's why the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And I've been fighting this. I've been wrestling this my whole entire life, and I just don't see a victory in it. Well, here's the thing. God's given you an opportunity right now. He says, are you ready for that? Because you're going to have to be ashamed of it. You're going to have to be called out of it. And the first part of being called out of it is being called to it. You ever get caught doing something by your parents? Right? Deny, 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 right? Did it ever work? Just be honest. Sometimes, right? Because you were sneaky. Because you were manipulative. It's just honest. Here's the problem. You can't be that way with God. You can't fool him. Man, I pulled the wool over my parents' eyes. Yep, yep. Once or twice. You know what? Never once have you pulled the wool over God's eyes. Never once. Now listen, he brings us to this so that we can be transformed. This is the point why he calls us to this. To be changed. Not so you live in shame. Not so you get stuck in shame. Not so you live a life full of guilt. It's so you can actually be set free. And so he wants us to be set free. And guess what? You have to identify it, and you have to know how bad it is to actually be set free. Because here's the thing. Anybody ever been bit by a dog? Okay? You've been bit by a dog. How many of you got bit by a dog when the dog was kind of snarling and growling and, like, had his haunches up, and you're like, oh, dogs love me. And you get there, and apparently this dog didn't love you. 99.7% of dogs love you, but there's that 0.3% of dogs that don't love you, and they're going to bite you, and they warned you. Just because you turn a blind eye and think that it's not going to bite you, trust me, your sin is as bad as the Bible says it is. And if you keep thinking, oh, it's not going to bite me, oh, it's not going to bite me, it'll tear your arm off. And so to treat sin like that, like, oh, it's not going to bite me, oh, it'll tear your arm off. Or how about this? It'll rip the joy from your life. You'll fall away from the beautiful blessings that you've already experienced in God. Right? The rejoicing. Man, how horrible would it be that you couldn't actually worship, even through song? How many of you got a favorite song, favorite Christian song? Man, when that song comes on, you're just like, yeah, right? Like, that's my Christian jam, right? What if that song came on and you had no feelings towards it? What if that song came on the radio and you just switched the station?
You see, if you toy with your sin long enough, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. The joy that you have in these blessings that God has given you, those will be gone. It's not because he removed them. It's because you took yourself away from it, because you started to enjoy something that he didn't want. Listen, this is the administration of discipline. Paul says, I teach the same thing. I'm consistent. Verse 16 says, some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. And so what's happening is Paul is saying that he's going to come and he's going to visit. And some... How many of you threw a party when your parents went on vacation? Because you knew that you had so many days to clean up, right? And you figured there was not enough damage that could be done, that 2 days of whatever you couldn't take care of. Right? The statement, you know, while the cat's away, the kittens will play kind of thing, right? Or the mice will play, whatever it is. Don't judge me, it's fine. You know what I mean. So Paul says, listen, I'm going to come to you. A lot of you are acting arrogantly because you don't think I'm coming. You remember what happened with Saul? He was commanded, like, listen, you're the king. You don't get to give the offering. You're not a priest. And so wait until Samuel gets there. And Saul gets impatient. And Saul offers the offering he's not allowed to offer. And Samuel gets there and he's like, what in the world are you doing? And Samuel's like, Saul's like, you took too long. And so I just did it myself. You see, there's an arrogance in there. And Paul tells the Corinthian church, listen, you guys are acting arrogantly because you don't think I'm coming because he's been delayed or because of whatever. Doesn't matter. He's like, so you guys are running around thinking. And so we know that Paul has some authority as the apostle, as the founder of the church. There's some authority. And he ends this portion with, like, here's the thing. Do you want me to come with that authority and the rod of discipline, or do you want me to come in a spirit of love? And so his authority is established here. He's like, but there's some of you inside the church that are running around arrogantly thinking, oh, well, Paul's not going to come. Or when Paul comes, does it really matter? Does it really matter if Paul shows up? Because he ain't God. Somebody in church don't get to tell me what to do. They ain't God. My walk with Jesus is my walk with Jesus. They don't get it right. They ain't no better. I heard a person make this statement. I ain't no different than Paul. You're like, oh. You are different. First of all, you're a different person. Look around. We don't have any twins in here, right? Okay. Yeah, they're still different. Amen. Like, Paul was no better than me. Paul was like, why are you comparing yourself to Paul? Because it was a statement made in arrogance. Because the arrogance was like, he was a sinner just like me. And the arrogance was, I'm going to put Paul down to lift myself up. You don't even know Paul. Hey, he ain't never met him. Any of you met Paul? No. If you're reading your Bible, you've met him through his written word, right? Okay? But here's the thing. He says, you guys are acting all arrogant. He says, you think just because I'm delayed or because I'm not coming or whatever? I'm not coming to you? He says, but I'm going to come soon as long as the Lord wills. And he says this, and I'll find out. And here's, man, this was so powerful this week. He says, I'll find out not the talk of these arrogant people. Here's the thing. You ever met somebody who's just a talker? Talk, 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 talk. And they're so wonderful. And here's the thing. There's arrogance on the other side, too. Arrogance is a funny thing. It's like humility and false humility. Because, you know, when people talk about how horrible they are and, like, they're trying to sound humble, you're like, that is not humble. That's arrogant. I'm so wonderful. I'm so wonderful. Or I'm so horrible. I'm so horrible. I'm so smart, I'm so smart, I'm so stupid, I'm so stupid. I have all these blessings, I have all these cursings, I have all the, and arrogance is the same way. And so Paul says, here's the thing, it ain't in what you say. He said, there's no power in that. So you talkers keep on talking, but there ain't no power in your talk. He says, there's no power in that. He says, you know where the power is? He's like, the power is not in the talk. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And he's like, here's where the power is. You go back earlier in this, and what's the power? The power is the salvation of Jesus Christ. You can talk and 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 talk. And guess what? You're sounding what? Clang. You just make a whole bunch of noise. But the power is this. Have you been a part of leading somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? either in salvation or in just correction in a loving way. Anybody can talk bad. Anybody can talk down to. It takes a person of Christ to speak in love. And so he says, listen, the power's not in their talk. They talk and they're running their mouth. They're bumping their gums for nothing. There's no power in that. He's like, there's whatever they're saying about me, I don't care. They can say that I'm not the best apostle, that I'm probably the worst apostle. They can say that, you know, hey, he was a murderer. They can say all these types of things. You ever heard the statement, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me kind of thing? Well, it's not true. It's not true. Why? Because you let those words hurt you. If you know who you are in Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter what somebody says about you. It don't matter. That's not who I am. Right? I'm in Christ. He says, man, there's power in that. There's power in, do you live in a way, do you speak in a way, do you sing in a way, do you pray in a way, do you show others in a way of power, and that's the way of leading them to Christ Jesus? Or do you just talk? Is your talk more consumed with you and your excuses and your justifications or your giftings, or right? Is it more consumed with you, or is it consumed with Jesus? How about your ailments? You're more concerned about how, right, I got this thing and I can't do this because of this, and I just, you know what, my back hurts, and so, man, I can't move chairs, and it's everything's about you. There's no power in that. There's no power in that. How about this? Everything you do and you say is to lift up the name of Jesus, is to point people to Jesus. Now, there's power in that. And this is what he says. There's power in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God consists of power. Read Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it is the power of God leading to salvation. Is our life lived in a way, is our words, our everything lived in a way to point people to Jesus? To that salvation, to that sanctification, to that end. He says, that's where the power is. Who cares if you're the CEO of this, this, and this, and you employ 40,000 people and blah, blah. Who cares about any of that stuff? There's not power in that. Good, you'll go get a humanitarian award. But what if that humanitarian award is just heavy enough to pull you right to hell? You got 40,000 people in your employment. How many of them have you prayed with? How many of them have you spoken the words of Jesus? How many of them have you started a Bible study with? How many of them have you led to Jesus? Because that's what your gifting's for. If you're a CEO and you got 40,000 employees, you know what? God's given you 40,000 opportunities to glorify his name every single day you go to work. So what are you doing with it? What's your bottom line? Paul says, here's my bottom line. Do you want me to come with a rod of discipline? Do you want me to come with the rod? Right, the rod. How many of you, maybe I shouldn't say this because we're, you know, live streaming. How many of you got whipped with something when you were a kid? Right? And I'm not saying go home and whip your kids with something. That's not what I'm saying. But the picture of the rod was, this was a rod of discipline. Right, my mom, she's a little bitty, right? So there was a point where mom needed something to whip us with, because have you met my brother? Like, he's hard-headed. He's hard-headed. And it's just, you know, it took some extra whooping. My mom just, you know, she needed something. She needed a rod of discipline to get through his head. I'm not sure it worked. I just, you know. The one son. We're just talking about one son. Paul says, do you really want me to come that way? Or do you want me to come to you in love? Do you want me to come to you in love? Do you want to sit down and have a conversation? He's like, because, man, there's a rod of discipline. And that rod of discipline, Paul's not saying, I'm just going to come and I'm just going to start swinging a stick at everybody. That's not what he meant. What he meant is he can come with the word of God, filled with the Spirit, to bring discipline. He says, or do you want me to come with the word of God in a way of love? He says, because I'd rather come that way. In fact, that's how I'm writing this first part. I'm writing this first part with that. And so what do you want? And you notice how Paul asked them? Listen, the Holy Spirit of God asks you the same thing. Do you want me to come with a rod of discipline, or do you want me to come in the spirit of gentleness, the spirit of love? How would you like to be corrected? What are you open to? Because if you turn from the spirit of love, if you turn from the spirit of gentleness, it's going to have to lead to the rod. My mom never whooped us with something until we deserved it. We got chances. My dad said it was always on the third time. He would give us three opportunities, and we'd push it to the third one. I meant he, my brother. He'd push it to the third one every single time. And there's something about us that in our flesh, in our natural being, that it's like we just want to push it to the very limit. It's because we're sitting on the throne. But in Christ Jesus, there's a new and there's a better way. Remember when he says, come, let's reason together? Though your sins be what? As scarlet. I will make them as, yeah. Remember when he says, hey, you don't have any money? Come and buy from me. I'll give you salve for your eyes. I'll give you everything you need. Would you just come to me? That's the invitation of love. You know what the greatest invitation of love was? When Jesus was nailed to a cross. Right? And so you see this picture. You see it, and I know you have it in your mind. You have Jesus bloodied and nailed to a cross. You're like, man, no, that's a visual. But how about this? Here's the invitation of love. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus took the rod of discipline, every single one of them. And as he was taking the rod of the Father's discipline, as he was taking the wrath of God, as he was taking the judgment upon himself, you know what he said? Let's reason together. He says, I love you. He says, would you let my invitation of love actually change you, transform you? Would you be willing to be corrected by it? Well, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm not God. Because if God acted like me, the stick probably would have come out first. And I've been like, I'm not putting myself through that for you. I'm just going to whoop you with this stick and try to get you to get in line. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Jesus comes and he says, you know what? You know what? You know what, Dad? Just put that all on me. Every lashing that was deserved, you put that on me. And not only put that on me, when you put that on me, would you make sure that you see them as blameless and as innocent? Like, since I took it, right? Since I took it, I want you to see them like you used to see me. Right? And it's not that God looked at Jesus perpetually like this, but God had to turn away because he couldn't look at Jesus. He couldn't look at the sin. He couldn't look at everything that Jesus took upon himself for us. But he looked at you, and he saw Jesus because Jesus asked him to. For you. Jesus says, which one do you want? Listen, if you want the rod of discipline, it's coming. It's coming. This is not to freak you out, but it's promised. But you don't have to take the rod of discipline. You don't have to go that route. Jesus says, listen, you can just come to me. You can trust in the fact and in the truth that I took that discipline for you. I was in your stead. I was in your place because I love you. And if you want to come to me like that, then we can start this work of transformation. So I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you were supposed to answer the invitation when we had it a long time ago or if it's right now that you're like, man, I that's what I need to do. That's what I need to do. I just need to, Lord, my life is yours. Every bit of it. I don't want to see that rod. I'm tired of the rod. I've been under it for too long. I'm just ready. And so if you're here today, listen, we're going to have a moment of prayer. We're in a moment of prayer, and in that moment of prayer, listen, you don't have to pray what I pray. You just reach out to God with what he's putting on your heart. There's nothing special you have to say. You have to say what he's leading you. He's leading you because he knows you better than anything I could come up with up here. And if there's anything that I said that was of benefit, it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. People come up and be like, Pastor, that was this thing. And I was like, man, I didn't even say that. Well, praise the Lord. That's why I have to say praise the Lord, because it wasn't me. But he's already speaking to your heart. He's already working on your heart. That's his love. It's not his discipline. Listen, that's his love. He says, listen, I want to change you. I want to make you like you're supposed to be. And so if you just bow your heads for just a moment. And you say, I'm here, and I'm ready to be changed. I want the world to see Jesus in me. Man, I want to get out there, and I want to live in power. I want to live in victory. I want to invite people to church and them come to church because they see a change in me. I want people to come and be a part of this family. I want people to know Jesus. But I need to be changed. I need to give up of myself. And so if you're here today and you need to give up of yourself and just relinquish all control and all power over to Jesus, if you're here, just put your hand up. Just listen. It's, yeah. Who else? Yes. 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 Who else? Yeah. Yep. Yep. There's nothing holding you back. Yeah, I see him. Nothing you holding you back. Just pray and say, Lord, just, okay, I'm ready. Lord, whatever that looks like. Lord, and just give me eyes to see the work that you're doing. Lord, help me not to give up. Help me not to quit. Help me not to turn away. But Lord, I want you to do this work in me. Fathers, we saw the hands that have gone up. Lord, I just want to thank you that, Lord, I got to see hands, but Lord, you're the one who's already seen the heart, and you've already started to move, and you've already started to soften. Lord, you've already started to change. And so, Lord, I pray and I ask that you would keep each and every one of us on track, on path. Lord, keeping us in this place where we allow you to be king. And so, Lord, change us. Be glorified. We thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for us. Holy Spirit, please have your way and continue to work. Help us to rejoice. Help us to encourage those who were baptized this morning. Lord, help us to, Lord, not just hold each other accountable, but Lord, hold each other to victory. And so we thank you, Jesus, and we praise you, God. Be glorified. Amen. All right, don't get up yet. Don't get up yet. Don't get up yet. Stacy's not here to drag me along because normally she has to come and get me. So those of you who got baptized, there's a cake. We got to get a picture before we can poke our fingers in it, okay? So we got to get a picture first. And so I will meet you in the kitchen in the fellowship hall. We will get a picture for that. Everybody else, they're barbecuing some burgers and some dogs. I think they're probably done. There's some chips. So make sure you grab some lunch, and you can't eat and run. You have to hang out and talk with somebody while you're eating, okay? And if you say, I don't eat meat, well, just eat a bun. It's fine. And if you're like, I don't eat buns, amen. Okay, all right, amen. All right, all right. But make sure you, hey, make sure you encourage those who got baptized. Give them a hug. Just, man, let's have some fellowship, church.